The scriptures and the word this morning has really sprung from the life meeting on Wednesday, and it's called the discerning of spirits, right? Discernment. Someone mentioned today about making choices. So the discerning of spirits, I'm going to start. So it has been approximately 40 days. So we're going to match the Bible to the events today, and then I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can look through with me. It's been approximately 40 days since the Resurrection Sunday when Jesus Christ spoke these words to his disciples. I mentioned it earlier. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, that's where we are. We're in Watford, the ends of the earth, right? So Christ's message is going out. The Holy Spirit is on the earth. Now, when he had spoken these words, while they watched, he was taken up and the cloud received him out of his sight. So I'm going to stop there. So Christ ascended into heaven after completing his earthly ministry and his work of redemption through the cross and resurrection. He had finished. Yet the work of God upon the earth did not cease. Okay, hasn't stopped. Rather, the Holy Spirit was sent to continue the ministry of God through the body of believers, which is you today. Okay, you're included in the message. This is important when we are speaking about the discerning of spirits, right? It is actually vital. As the gospel spread, not every spiritual manifestation was from God. The early church encountered this reality just as it did from the very beginning. And so we can see this in the time of Moses. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Exodus 7:8, just a short verse. Okay, just take a moment to get your Bibles. And if you don't, we'll speak it out. But if you can we'll follow along with me, Exodus 7:8. It's just a small verse. But it's going to deal with the discerning of spirits. The voices we hear, the people around us. God wants to give us a jolt. So Exodus 7:8, it just says this. I'm just waiting for some pages to stop turning. Okay, so it's all right. Just take a moment. It is fine. It's not a race. It's a holiday. So Exodus 7:8 just says this. We read it together, okay? Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show us a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in a like manner, and their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up the rod, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed. He did not heed them as the Lord had said. So I'm going to stop there. I want to give you just that glimpse so we have a starting place to see, the false spirits and the real spirits. Okay. So we read the sorcerers and magicians can conjure up different types of spirits to battle against God. Unless the Holy Spirit is the source of the power. Okay, to think about the source of the power, we know it's another type of counterfeit spirit. Just like with Simon the sorcerer, as described in Acts 8:9. So I'm going to read a small section from Acts 8:9. And you can listen to what I'm saying. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, And they heeded him because he had astonished them with sorceries for a long time. So it's just two images to point to a different power source, right? A different type of spirit. Again, we are shown that the false spirits were present in the time of the early church, and many are still present today. The crowd misidentified the source, attributing it to God. When Simon the sorcerer was doing all these things, they thought it was God. Their main aim is to deceive and steal worship. Okay, spiritual, different spiritual entities to steal and steal worship from God, to make themselves idols in the hearts of the people. So just think of that. Think about that for a moment. If we have an idol in our heart, right? It could be sorcery. It could be a person. It could be a situation. It could be a feeling, right? If we have something in your heart which is stealing your worship to God, right? It's something for you to think about. They can tell half truths. Okay, Satan doesn't lie to you straight out. He's very, very sophisticated. He can lie to a man all his life and make him a shell. I've seen it. They can tell half-truth when it suits them to gain advantage and even promote the message of God, as we read in the next scripture. So if you turn to Acts 16:16, one of my favorite scriptures. Okay, I'm going to wait for the rustling of the pages to stop. Acts 16:16. So I want you to have this image in your mind. Very important, right, for your discernment. Don't let your mind wander somewhere else. Stick to the message this morning. Stick to the text this morning. Acts 16:16. Now it happened, as we went to pray, and this is Paul, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." This she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Think about the imagery, the words, church. Try to discern what God is saying to us. Very important, right? The original Greek uses the term spirit of Python. Okay? In the ancient Greek world, Python was connected to the oracles of Delphi, where people sought supernatural guidance and predictions. So this phrase points to the demonic spirit associated with the occult revelation of fortune telling. A counterfeit spirit tries to mimic the Holy Spirit. Okay, the New Age would use a lot of these spiritual things, right? New Age is not new. New Age is old witchcraft. It's not new at all. It's just wrapped up, very nice. It's new to make you think, oh, this is attractive. You know, I don't want that religious rubbish. I want something New Age. But they are leading you to a different spiritual force. Okay? And then you start to rely on that force. So from this, we begin to see how false spirit influences and operates. Their aim is to draw people into seeking guidance, answers, and power from the wrong source. Over time, when people do not recognize the source of what they are engaging with, again, it can lead them far from God. You know, we have horoscopes today. We have fortune tellers today. We have the spiritualist church today that you can go to and you can speak to dead relatives. It's still relevant today. Okay, these things are still relevant today. I remember, you know, years ago. It was me and my son, and we picked up some youth from different places and dropped into a different church. And I picked up this young girl. She must have been 20 years old, young girl. And I was talking to her, And she started talking like, oh, yeah, okay, Pastor, I know what you mean, yeah. I'm thinking, what's wrong with your throat? Oh, I've had this throat for 3 weeks, it's just really deep. I'm thinking, I said, did you get prayer for your throat? Oh, yeah, I had prayer in church, and it's taking some time to go. And I thought, you know, no, there's something wrong here. I said, look, can I pray for you? So I put my hand up. Bang, she dropped on the floor. She blanked out, she dropped on the floor. And she got up. And she goes, oh, what happened? And her voice was normal. She had normal voice in her. Normal voice. Do you see, church? Church doesn't mean it's a safe place. I'm telling you, right? Church, because you go to a church and it's people, it doesn't mean it is what it is. You've got to ask the Lord. Yeah. Lord, is this the place? Lord, is your presence here? Because no one's discerning anything today. Christianity is so broken up, so diluted, thousands and many different things. And people don't know. They just want to worship God. So this poor girl, and she goes, what, did I have a demon in me? I said, sister, look, don't worry about it. It's gone. Don't worry about it. It's gone. I bring that because I want you to see it's not make-believe. It's not just in the scriptures. It's not in the scriptures. It's today. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But people don't know. They're in a place and they're thinking it's the Lord. Because they don't know. Because the church has to teach you, right? This is the teaching of the church. Has to teach and equip you. So you can hear and you can listen and you can talk to someone else. And you go, you know what? The church, are they following this and are they following that? And this is not to judge any churches, right? Because it's a difficult role. I'm saying that you need to discern for yourself. Ask the Lord. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. We're in the season of Pentecost. Okay? And so I want you to be wise. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 11 and we're going to finish there. Simple gospel. The gospel is very simple. It's such a simple message. Paul reminds us that the gospel message of Christ is simple. The enemy seeks to make it complicated and works base. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. Look what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11. Very important. Let's read it together. Okay? Very important. Like we match everything together so that you get a clear picture so God can teach you from the scriptures. So 2 Corinthians 11 says this, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as the chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Think about this word. It's simple. For if he comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And a little further down, if we jump just to verse 13, he says these things. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also themselves transforming into ministers of righteousness, who the end will be according to their works. All right, so we've got a few scriptures that I want you to look through. All right, I want you to understand why. Because sometimes we're in a place because we don't have the revelation of God. Because people around us or different things are going on, and you can't grab what you need and change your life. You're stuck in a pit for a long time or many years. And the church gives you the scripture so you can discern, so you can get rid of it, so you can shake it off, so you can start again with the Lord. But very important. The teaching has to be very important. You've got to take it And you've got to understand it because it's the same today. It's not 2,000 years ago. It's today. It's today. God wanting you to understand. The gospel is very simple. Repent towards God. With all your heart, turn to Christ. Follow him. That's it. That's it. You will turn from sin. You will do it in one go. You will do it in one go. But now you have a list. You have to repent. You have to turn to God. You have to confess your sins. And the Bible talks about all these things, right? But it's not works-based. You said, you know, Lord, help me today. And you turn to God. And you follow him. Church, that's it. You see how simple it is? Now, when another man comes, say, listen, you need to be praying at 4 in the morning and 5 in the morning. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need a special anointing for me. Come, come. I'm going to anoint you with special anointing. And what do they do? They come into a church. They raise themselves up into a church. They start saying this and that, and they're trying to get you to follow. Right? Listen, I've seen it. You will see it. You will see it. You will see it. And they're trying to do, they're trying to take you away because, wow, this is the sermon. This is amazing. Wow, this person did it. And it's you got to ask, Lord, really? Right? And this is mass through the churches. Mass through. God's wanting us to be discerning. Right? We are one day, listen to this. One day we are supposed to judge angels. The Bible says we are supposed to judge, which means we're supposed to have judgment. You're supposed to discern. You're not supposed to look at the person, look at them, go, oh, they're really good, and da, 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 and then get full. Lord, what are you showing me, Lord God? In the early days, we got involved in deliverance ministries, and you know, we went to a place, and I thought, Lord, what are they doing? Right? Deliverance is not so much getting Satan out; it's getting the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah. Right? This is a deliverance. I did it the wrong way for a long time. Right? Out, 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 in the name, boom, you're banging it, and it's demon. It is going, it is moving, but it comes back in again. You see, Christians don't have demons, right? You've got Jesus in you. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit tells you, right? He will affirm you are made righteous. When you fall, you haven't got something following you. Right? You don't have nothing following you. You've got nothing wrong. You had a bad day, you're immature, you don't know. That's it. At the very worst. You don't have thing in you. Because you've got the Spirit of God in you. You understand? And he consumes. His job is to consume you. You're a temple. You are holy. Your past doesn't matter. Your bad thoughts that day don't frame you. It's the thought. It's not for you to get lost. You go to the wrong ministry. Oh, brother, sister. Yeah, I can see there's depression following you. Come now, you're doing something, you're sinning, you're in sin, aren't you? Okay, stop sinning. And so they'll put it on you while I'm saying, listen, don't worry about it. Pick yourself up, repent to the Lord, start to learn, start to grow. You're like a small child. Listen, a small child falls on the floor, do you slap him around and kick him? Do you do that? Your son falls down on the floor. Listen, I've got children and grandchildren. My son falls down, you pick him up gently. Come on, it's all right. Your legs are not strong. You haven't got coordination. You don't know where you're going. Baby's crying. Do you whack the baby because the baby's crying? Isn't it stupid, isn't it? Isn't it? But the church come and slap you around because they're not understanding God's love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his favor on you. You just don't know. You just don't. That's all it is. And the church has to tell you, isn't it? I've got to educate you and say, listen, don't worry about that. Once you confess Christ and you're trying to follow him, you're on the best path of your life. Hallelujah. Have a few bad days, have a bad season. It's not a big deal to him. He's just saying, look, just get up, let's go. We've got work to do. Let's get up, let's go. Let's go, let's go. Let's give Jesus the glory. Let's give you the life that gives him the glory. Let's turn his disaster into a victory. Let's change it around. That's what he's going to tell you. That's what he's been telling me. Or you're not good enough. Or your door's closed. Or this is not the life for you. And you've had bad life. It's rubbish. And so false teachers, false apostles come in lots of forms and shapes and sizes. Okay? You've got to discern. If the Holy Spirit in a man of God If Jesus was here and you fell, what would Jesus slap you around? Would he? I'm talking when you're trying to follow the Lord and you make a mistake, is he going to slap you around? Oh no, I don't want you to die. Listen, I'm not talking to you. No, I'm not talking to you. Listen, you've done it 10 times. I'm not talking. Oh, Pastor, God is not talking to me anymore. God is not close to me anymore. I said, who's telling you that? Please tell me. And they go, it's normally their flesh, the voices. Then maybe they listen to something on a different channel. And they say, could it be? And now when you say, could it be true, you're saying, Lord, I doubt you. And then the enemy comes in like a flood and he starts slapping you around. Listen, I've been there. I've been where you are on your worst day. I've gone through that. I'm here to encourage you. When the Holy Spirit come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Of sin because I go to the Father, of righteousness. You understand? He will convict you of, listen, son, daughter, that's not who you are. Don't do that anymore. That's your old life. That's not you anymore. You see how the Spirit of God, that's not you anymore. Don't you know that Jesus died on the cross and I'm here to tell you, personally, I'm in you, that God says, get up, let's go. That's the Holy Spirit. You got to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's him all day, every day. The best coach in the world. Never leave you. 2 a.m, 3 a.m, other side of the world. Go on a holiday. God is there. Right? Isn't it? But if you don't notice access, if you don't have access and you don't notice, then you're like, oh, I'm not sure God's with me. And X, Y, Z, and the enemy will just slap you around. Right? The gospel is very simple. Right? God loves you. You're going to have up and down days, right? And then you're going to have more up days. And then your relationship is going to get stronger. And then you're going to hear the voice of the Lord more. And you're going to have this steady journey. When you start, yeah, it's up and down, right? Emotions get you, people get you, families get you. And you're this yo-yo. And then you settle down. And then you're stable. And then you're going up like heartbeat. Right? Because you're matching the Lord now. And this takes a couple of years. Yeah, it's fine, no problem. But your growth has to be that you're growing in the Lord. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Like Simon the sorcerer. Like the woman who had divination. Yes, God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. But on the other side, come, I will tell you something. Then the other source turns up. You see how it works, right? So the discerning of spirits. When Christ ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, down to us as a gift. Very important for you, church. Very important. Your life depends on it, right? The Holy Spirit. He does not want us to be ignorant or deceived. Because why? He is the Spirit of truth, isn't he? He's not the Spirit of error. He's the Spirit of truth. He will take from the Bible the words of Christ and give it to you. Because he will glorify Jesus. Jesus says this. Okay? Gospel of John 15. He will take of mine and declare it to you. So Jesus tells you, the Holy Spirit will take from me and declare it to you. So that we do not be deceived. So when we get the gift of spirits, what spiritual source is behind something? Okay, God's going to ask you, what's the source behind it? The first thing you're going to ask when someone's talking to you, what's the source behind it? Right? I've had many people in the years that come in that room, Pastor, do this and da 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 da. I say, okay, brother, just give me 3 numbers of the people you disciple, so I can call them and speak to them, and just verify who you are. Not one name can they give me. If I speak to a people, I say, listen, I can give you 20 numbers of people who can tell you about me. You see, church, reference. Due diligence, right? You're business people, right? God is a business people. You're business people here. Due diligence. Do your due diligence. Find out who it is. And you will stop wasting time. business people would do look at the website. You see, we get so many emails now, fake emails. Had it for so many years. You take the email, you look at the source. Ah, it's not even the source, isn't it? You can see, can't you? Yes. Click here, please. You need to pay this money to me. Get lost. Discern. Discern the times. Discern the spirit. Discern the ministry. Don't waste your time. All right? I don't want you to be wasting your time. Hit the ground running. Distinguish between the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and the evil spirit, right? Discern. If we were today, and Simon the sorcerer would come today, because we know, we would say, oh, he's a false spirit. Isn't that right? Because you know the scriptures. But if we didn't have the scriptures, and Simon the sorcerer came in, he started thinking, wow, look at that man. He's doing these amazing things. I'm going to follow him. God must be with him. But we look at Moses. We see the real spirit of God, don't we? We look at the Simon the sorcerer, okay, and then we look at what Paul is telling us. Distinguish between the Holy Spirit and the false spirit. Detect deception, even when it looks spiritual or good. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. The Bible tells us, test the spirits. Okay? Does it agree with Christ? His teachings, his gospel, his nature, his fruit? See, so you don't have to go blind. Does that person represent the teachings, represent Jesus Christ? Really? How would you know? Because you're obviously reading your Bible. You've got an understanding. You've got the scriptures there. And the people will match the scriptures, right? So now you've got an understanding. When it doesn't, you've got to put a question mark over it. Lord, is that from you? And ask the Holy Spirit, as my wife said, alluded to, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you due diligence. The information I'm reading, is it from the Lord? Is God really telling me to do that? Is it me? Lord, help me. And yes, of course, right? You're gonna make some mistakes, but that's part of life. You've got to grow. God wants you to fall down. He wants you to get up again. He wants you to mature. This is all the part of growth. Right, until you grow up into all things. As we spoke about last week, the purpose of the church is to help you grow up into all things so that you are no longer tossed to and fro by the trickery, okay, of men, it says this. If you read that verse, the church has to give you wisdom, has to give you something so you can understand what the Lord is saying. So I think we've come really just, I don't want to go too much, we've come really to the end to give you a picture, church. So you can read the scriptures. Listen, I'll send the scriptures to everyone later. Read for it. Listen, spend a week, church. Don't look at it today. You get the scriptures every week. Look for it. Pray about it. Lord, can you help me to understand this? I want it to go in me. Don't let the revelation just fly from today. Because you're not learning anything. If you're learning from this person and that YouTube and this person and this person and this person, at the end of the week, you're not going to remember anything. God is saying discernment, okay? Look at your discernment. Make better decisions. Don't get deceived. Is that the voice of the Lord or is that the enemy putting you down in the pit? Right? Be wise, Jesus tells us. Be wise in his last days. So I'm going to just end in a prayer and then we're going to move over to communion this morning. Hallelujah. So I want everyone here, just look, you close your eyes, just ask the Lord, just focus for a moment. Just ask the Lord, Lord, maybe you have the gift of discernment. Maybe you need it sharper, right? But Father in heaven, we are in the time now, Lord, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And of course for us today, we have received him. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And he comes, he is the main gift, but he gives us other gifts in these last days. So Holy Spirit, I just pray, Lord, according to your will. Lord, can you, because the teaching today is about discerning of spirits, making choices that glorify God and that put you in the place where your life can glorify God. I just pray, Lord, right now for the gift of discernment to come upon these brothers and sisters here today to discern between good and evil, Lord Jesus Christ, to discern the source of people and the heart and the motive, to make better choices in their life, to choose life every day that they may live. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, Lord, as you give the keys to your church, these people here, they're your children. They need the keys to open doors in their life for you, because you died on that cross to give them the key, that their life may be at peace and joyful and love and laughter. That the joy of the Lord may be their strength, that they may discern between good and evil. I pray, Lord, that they look the scriptures today in their spare time, read about the things you've highlighted today, and get to the 2 Corinthians where Paul is speaking from experience, telling us to discern about false apostles, false ministries, false ministers that bear no fruit, that are really, their core is pride, and they're misdirecting people. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And church, just stay where you are, okay? Just stay where you are in that place. We're going to go into a time of communion now. And while you're there, in your heart, right, very important, if you've got anything in your heart, confess it to the Lord, right? Confession is important to your soul. Every day I confess, Lord, forgive me today, Lord, if I said things, if I'm thinking of things which are not from you. Okay, so just humble yourself this afternoon and ask the Lord right now, Lord, just take a moment before we go into communion. Examine yourself, examine your heart. Remember, today is the day you can just wash it all away. Okay, you don't have to hold on to it. There's no good works. There's no, I'm a terrible person, because Jesus Christ has removed it all completely, as far as the east is from the west. Just receive this morning his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his seal, his love for you. And so, Holy Spirit, as you are moving around the congregation this morning, Lord, take away the people's heaviness. Take away the old teaching. Take away the old doctrine, the religious things, oh Father God, that separate them from you. May your presence be upon them. May they examine their hearts, as the Bible says, let a man examine himself. And so let each of us take the bread. Judge yourself, so God will not judge you. Judge yourself sincerely and openly, not with condemnation, but just like a son and a father waiting to receive you with open arms. Lord, sorry, Lord, Father, sorry, Lord, forgive me. And it's gone. There's no begging, there's no scraping, there's no punishing yourself. Right? There's none of that nonsense. It's just love and mercy and grace. God wants to be your father. He wants you to know you've forgiven. He wants you to know you've been chosen. He wants you to know because his son loved you. The Bible says, and God demonstrated his love in this way. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is mercy beyond mercy. So, Father, I pray that they can receive this morning. Receive your gift, receive your grace, Lord Jesus, before we go into a time of communion, Lord. Let me thank you, Lord. Stay in that place. Just don't get distracted. Just close your eyes as we go into communion. Right? You are communing with the Lord. And he is with his disciples. The same unity and community. The same personal space. Remember, where two or more are gathered, here the Lord is in our midst. And he is here this morning because we are here this morning. And in the breaking of the bread, you know, throughout the scriptures, God reveals himself to us more so. Remember, there is therefore no condemnation, right, for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemned this morning, that's the Old Testament. Get rid of it. Put your focus on the cross. Perfect, sinless, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's not conditional. He has already done it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Father, let the people know that they are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, you see. The blood means the life. It means the new covenant. Not the old covenant, not the old temple worship, but the new covenant of God. The good news. And so Jesus, as we enter into this, we thank you, Lord, that you were pierced for our transgressions, that you were crushed for our iniquities, that the chastisement, think about it, the chastisement for our peace, right, was placed upon him. It's not on you. That's the wrong teaching. The right teaching is the chastisement was on him. The chastisement for our peace. Every Christian here should have a deep peace inside you. An overwhelming peace inside you. And if you don't have that, you need to ask the Lord to help you. The Prince of Peace. Remember, peace isn't just a word or location. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be a man of peace, be a woman of peace. Let aside and put aside everything that's bothering you, that you're carrying in your mind. Give it to the Lord completely and utterly, church, this morning. Let the chains that maybe you placed on yourself, the shackles be broken, removed, destroyed. Because the Lord is the Spirit, you see. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is life. And so if you don't have freedom, you're not understanding what Christ died to give you. A beautiful new life. A life on a sailing boat. The sun's on you and the Spirit of God is blowing you to the direction. The Lord gave me this many years ago. And so the communion, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, Father, we thank you. He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Thank you, Jesus. It's a legal binding covenant. We are keepers of the covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Lord Jesus, we remember you this morning. The church remembers you this morning. We bless you, we glorify you, we exalt you, we thank you that you went for the cross for us, because of us, instead of us. We will never face death, Lord God. In the blink of an eye, when it's our time, we will be with you in heaven, because the price has been paid. Lord, I pray that the people understand this. The price has been paid. Their names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And all you have to do, very simply, as he said to his disciples, follow me, church. Follow the Lord. Follow the Christ. Get into your Bibles. Read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospels. See how the Lord works. Let him turn you into a fisher of men. Wouldn't that be awesome? Fisher of men and fishes of women. There you go. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, because he's meaning all of us, the body, the evangelists, the fishes of men. Go fishing for the Lord. Learn to fish this season. Yeah, start fishing for life. Start transforming. Start changing. Start putting to practice all the beautiful things that the Lord has died to give you. Don't let any chain be around you and in you and your thinking and your nature. Kill the old man. Kill the old nature. Right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the word of God. Believe it. He is a new creation. All things are past. Behold, all things are new. Start a new life with Christ, church, especially this week. And I advise people this week, spend some time honoring the coming of the Holy Spirit. Even though He's with us, spend some time honoring the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, thank you for the life you've given me. You know, He is the breath of God. As Brother Samuel said, without breath we can't even breathe. And God holds our breath in His lungs. Isn't that right? Everything that has breath. So praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Honor Him. You're chosen. You're called. You're appointed. You're anointed. Even when you don't feel it. Or even when, because it's not about your feelings will betray you. Okay, when I first came to the Lord, my feelings were up and down and left and right. One day I was the son of God. One day I was the son of Satan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Right. When you, isn't that right? You wake up and one day you're the son of God, one day you feel like the son of Satan. Why? And oh no, you're not really born. Listen, shut up, man. Just walk every day. Lord, forgive me, Lord. Get up, Lord, sorry, Lord. Teach me, Lord. That's it. Help me, Lord. Have that relationship with the Lord, right? Start to build on that foundation. Because Paul tells us, again, I'm going to repeat it, the Bible is very simple. But blah, blah, blah makes it complicated. Blah, blah, blah. You don't have to just follow Christ. Everything else, He will sort out for you. My wife's favorite scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What will be added to you, church? And everything else, maybe the thing you're seeking will be added to you if you put God first. See, scriptures don't lie. But we forget, right? And I'm here to remind you. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Anyway, let me stop talking. I need to end the service now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Start all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me do an ending prayer, a blessing over you, and then we'll get into the worship, thanksgiving, and praise. And then please join us at the end. And so, Father, I just pray over the church members as they leave here today, over the children, husband, wife, finances, resources, everything owned by their right hand. May you put a hedge of protection around them, oh God, because you can, oh Father God. May you bless them. Lord, may you encourage them this week. May they remember, oh God, that, listen, disappointment, depression, anxiety, curses, all this does not follow them. But goodness and mercy shall, will, and continue to follow you all the days of your life. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Let's give Jesus. Hallelujah. So, worshipers this morning.